sit back, relax, and open their mind. You are now listening to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week. So, this week I have done something I have never, ever done in the history of my podcast. This is going almost 10 years, 8, 9 years now. Last night, I recorded a show. I completely scrapped it. Last night, I recorded a show that I was going to post for you all this week, and it was just a somber. I was not upbeat. I was really, really down. I wasn't in the mood to record it, and I should not have recorded it. And I went back, and I just started playing bits and pieces of it back, and it was horrible. It absolutely was a very, very melancholy, very depressing show, and I couldn't, in good faith to you guys, put it out, because we as a nation have already, just this week, gone through so much. There are a lot of people who are becoming clinically depressed as to what is going on around them in this country. It was not a good show, and I'm not going to put out that quality of a show, so I'm re-recording my show for this week. It's the first time I've re-recorded shows. But that's because my computer just wouldn't upload it, or I went to save it and all of a sudden it was gone. And that would be the only time I would have to re-record a show. I have never re-recorded a show because I thought the quality was so bad and the content was so depressing that I could not release it. It's almost like Prince's Black Album. I had a second thought on it. So this week's show, I'm going to cover pretty much the same topics, but I'm going to change the way I look at things. I'm going to change how I view them and how I get them across to you. Because honestly, if you would have listened to this show that I was going to put out, the original version of it, you would have been absolutely depressed. And that's not what I want to do. I don't want to give people depression. I want to give people hope. But I think we can all agree that this past week especially has been very, very hard on every one of us, no matter what side of the aisle you are on. But there's one common theme that has just been thrown in our faces this week, even more so than right after the election. There is a huge, colossal division of people in this country. Now, that is kind of the norm. You're going to have your people on the right, you're going to have your people on the left, but here's my issue. It's not just people on the right, people on the left. It's family members. It's friends. It's neighbors. And I have never, ever seen such hatred to another individual in my life. The amount of hatred being spewed out to another individual because of what they believe has been appalling. I want to talk to you about that today because we as a nation, in order to move forward, we have to remove this hatred from our hearts. This hatred has been perpetuated and it's been organized by our political parties, both parties, not just the Democrats. I know some of you are surprised to hear me say that, but by both parties and by our media. They realize that if we are divided they can do anything they want because half of them are going to agree, half of them are not. If we are all in agreement on one thing, they can't get their agenda to go through. They have to have us divided. And they have done a masterful job of training people to hate one another because of one another's views. The week started this past week with the Georgia runoff election where the Democrats won both seats, therefore giving complete and utter power to the left. And it's not just the left. If it was just the Democrats, it would be, oh, dang it, you know, we got to watch out. But it is a radical left party that is hell-bent on moving this country towards socialism. And the people that the Democrats are putting up and getting into office are very radical. Rashida Tlaib, AOC, Warnock, Ossoff, the girl's name escapes me from Minnesota, the Arab terrorist girl that decries America any chance she gets. They are putting into positions of authority, which they now have complete authority. And trust me, the Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of not even 10, 15 years ago. This party is becoming radicalized. And you will have the Democrat Party and the Democrats say the same thing about the Republicans. And to a point, it's true. We need to be more centralized. We need to move away from the far left and the far right. We need to become more understanding of one another. We need to be able to work across party lines because that is a thing that is gone. It doesn't matter if you believe in what that other person is saying or not. Because you would be a Democrat, you refuse to work with that Republican and vice versa. Because you don't cross party lines anymore. Back when I was growing up, it was a common theme. People had common sense. Nowadays, we are so radicalized. And this includes us, too, because their rhetoric with the mainstream media has conditioned us to become radicalized. How do you think BLM and Antifa and Proud Boys have come to fruition? It's because the radicalization of America is happening right in front of us. And speaking of BLM and Antifa, and this is where I really got off on my depressed point last show, and I'm not going to be depressed about it. I'm going to basically state my facts. And these facts, I'm sure you heard, but I quoted this fact on it, and this is one thing I normally don't do. Now, let's go back. After Monday, and what I saw was happening at the Capitol on Tuesday, I got off of social media for a while. I couldn't go on social media because I was just completely overwhelmed. And that's why this show is being recorded, because I was still completely overwhelmed when I recorded that show. I've done some soul searching. I've come to the realization it is what it is. Doesn't mean I like it and doesn't mean I'm still not going to fight, but I can't change it right now. What I can do is I can talk everybody through this, and that's what this show is going to do. But I watched as the Capitol was being stormed. And I was just, to be honest with you, at first I was pretty happy because I was thinking, that's right, patriots, the people whose voices were denied are taking a stand. It's about time the silent majority in this country fight back. And then I realized, I don't think that's them. This is not what we do. We are not a violent group of people. We are waking up and starting to make our voice heard, but we are not. We are the party of law and order. Now, I'm not going to say that there were not some Trump supporters. The young lady that was shot, who we're going to get into in a little bit here, she was a Trump supporter. She was radicalized. But I am a firm believer that the majority of the people that stormed the Capitol on Tuesday were BLM and Antifa operatives posing as Trump supporters. I kept getting messages all week from my listeners who would say, hey, I'm getting word that these Antifa supporters are going to be dressing as Trump supporters and wearing MAGA hats backwards so they can be identified. Now, whether or not that is the actual case, I don't know. I saw a lot of messages and emails from a lot of my listeners telling me that. The other thing that struck me funny during this is you don't see Trump and MAGA supporters with full body armor. You don't see them with masks on. That is all BLM and Antifa because they don't want to be identified. Again, I'm not saying that this was all BLM and Antifa and there were no Trump supporters. We know for a fact that there were Trump supporters in there. But something struck me as odd. So I'm watching this happen and I'm looking at it going, this is awesome. This is great. We're taking back our country. And I came to the slow realization that this may have been planned. And the Democrats are following what I thought would happen. The Democrats and the Republicans are now using this in as a way to call Trump supporters domestic terrorists. We are now, we who support Trump, regardless of whether we were at that rally or not, are now going to be labeled domestic terrorists. They are going to create laws that suppress our voice, our means of transportation, what we can and can't do. Trust me on this. You can see it already with Donald Trump. He has been banned forever from Facebook and from Twitter. And what scares me is you see all of these people that think this is the best thing in the world. They're on social media stating the tyrant has been silenced. This should have happened a long time ago. Next, lock him up. Put him in jail for treason. Kill him for treason. What these people don't understand is it only takes one little step more until social media will ban anyone who has views that contradicts theirs. And that is called censorship. Censorship does not have any place in America. Censorship is what happens in China when you blow the whistle on coronavirus and then you end up dead. That is what happens, and that's what these people do not realize. They have such a hatred for Donald Trump that was just drilled into them by the media and the Democrats. They have such a hatred for this man that they are willing to see him dead. They are willing to give up any right they have to see him suffer. They are blind to the fact that this is one step away from another one of their freedoms to be taken away. Now, a lot of you may be saying, overreact much, Tom? That's a little excessive. It's not. This is how your freedoms get taken away from you gradually. This one is a little more, not as gradual. This is a big step. A sitting president is banned from social media. That is a big step. And why are they banning him? Twitter said it's because of his insightful and violent rhetoric. They don't want any more posts or tweets that will incite violence. Donald Trump organized for the most part, this rally on the 6th. He talked to his people. Never, ever did he tell his people to go and riot. Never. When he told the people to go home, he said, go home in peace. That is not at all the words of a violent organizer. That is not inciting a riot. Just because the people were out there because they are pissed because their voice was denied. Their vote was denied. They know it. We know it. You know it. We all know it. They know it. That is why they were out there. They weren't out there to cause problems. They were out there to make their voice heard and hopefully change the outcome of a fraudulent election. Never, ever did Donald Trump incite a riot, but they are going to use that as grounds to terminate him from ever posting on their sites again. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's a private company. They can do what they want. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but Facebook and Twitter are both publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange, so that makes them a publicly owned company. You and I can own shares in that company, therefore being part ownership of that company. They are not a privately owned company. They have a CEO by the name of Mark Zuckerberg who makes all the policies, but you and I can own them, so theoretically they are not a private owned company. They have to abide by certain laws. The problem is the ones who make those laws are applauding the fact that Donald Trump is being banned for life. It is a very slippery slope from this to you and I not having a voice. This is how it starts. And people do not see that because, again, their hatred towards Donald Trump. Apple and Google have now taken off the Parler app
from their Play Store, like the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. You can't download the Parler app anymore. What does that have to do with violence and rhetoric? That is a social media platform, just as Facebook is. I don't go on there, and I don't support violence, and I don't spew violent rhetoric. But this is censorship. The Democrats aren't even in full control yet right now. And this is what they're giving us, a preview of what is going to happen. Our rights are going to be taken away. The government is going to tell us what we can see, what we can say, who can say it, and what can be said. And we are going to have to go along with it, apparently, because nobody seems to think that this is a big deal. Everybody thinks that, yep, it's about time Trump got banned. I was tired of seeing all his tweets. They're not looking at the big picture. Next, it's going to be you and I who, if we post something that is against Facebook standards, we will be banned forever. Eventually, it is going to be just like the mainstream media, where all you hear is one side. And this is the plan for communism. This is how you get socialism indoctrinated into the public. You don't let another side, another viewpoint, even be heard. You silence them. A lot of people think I'm crazy right now, but I see the writing on the wall. I'm a big history buff. This is exactly what happened in Cuba. This is exactly what happened in China, Russia, Nazi Germany. There was no other viewpoint. If you had a different viewpoint, you were silenced. In this day and age, it starts off by denying you social media. The digital template for where you can voice your opinion is going to be silenced. Yes, you will have these little offshoot social media sites like Parler, which is growing, but because it's growing and is essentially a conservative-leaning social media platform, it is, again, being banned from Apple, from Google. You can't get it if you have an iPhone or an Android phone. They're not going to be able to give you access to it. That should scare everyone, not just conservatives. That should scare everyone, because everyone is affected by free speech or lack thereof. We are on a very, very slippery slope, and we haven't even begun to get into what the left, the radical left, is going to be able to do in this country, because it appears that now that Donald Trump is out, those that said they were supporting him are turning their back on him. So we essentially have a one-party system here, because the Republicans in office now, and this, there's a slight few that are going to be standouts that aren't going to fall into this category, but most of the Republicans are going to fall in line with the Democrat leadership. That is a very scary scenario. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, you name it, they are all falling into line. Again, that is a very scary scenario to picture. Because if you are someone that differs from the Democrat view of things right now, your voice will be shut down. You will not have a social media platform other than a platform of other conservatives. You will not be able to try and persuade the other side to see your point of view. Not that that's even possible nowadays, because things are so crazy out there, but it's very, very disturbing. And an alarming number of people seem to be okay with that right now. They are completely fine with the president of the United States being shut down forever. You're also seeing both Republicans and Democrats trying to get rid of Trump right now. He is, As of the recording of this, he is essentially 10 days away from leaving office. That's not good enough for them. They are trying to invoke the 25th Amendment or to impeach him. Right now, the Democrats have formed articles of impeachment against him again. 10 days. And a lot of people are saying, oh my God, why would you do that? It's just a waste of taxpayers' money. Here's the reason. You impeach this man or you get rid of him under the 25th Amendment, he can't run for office again. So that begs the question. The first thing I thought of is, why are they so afraid of this man running for president again? In 2024, he's going to be roughly, I think, 82 years old. I don't think he's going to be able. I mean, granted, Donald Trump is a workhorse, and he is sharp as a tack. At 82, 4 years is a long time. I don't know if he's going to be able to withstand the rigors of a presidential campaign. You think he was getting lambasted the first go around? The verbal assaults on this man a second go around would be relentless. So I'm not sure they're worried about him running in 2024. So why? Why are they trying to get rid of him by the 25th Amendment or to impeach him? I have two schools of thought on that. The first one is that they are trying to ruin his legacy. Right now, Trump has got a legacy among his supporters of just one of the best presidents ever. Greatest economy, greatest GDP growth, and they're trying to dissolve that. You know, I would not be surprised if the history books are revised to just eliminate Donald Trump from the history books. Or the other school of thought, and I have a lot of listeners who think this is the case, is that Donald Trump isn't going. He is still going to remain in the limelight. He has things. He has stuff on these politicians that will ruin them. And they want to discredit him. 25th Amendment. He's not mentally capable of holding office. So if he comes out and says, well, I've got this on Nancy Pelosi, I got this on Chuck Schumer, I got this on Lindsey Graham, they can just go back and say, look, this is all hogwash. He's not mentally capable. We prove that by invoking the 25th Amendment. Those are the only two reasons I can think that they would do that. Because 10 days, he's done in 10 days. Near the end of the show, I'm going to give you a little list that some of my listeners gave me that say, Tom, it ain't over yet. And I want to talk about these Trump supporters that are feeling that way, and I want to give you my thoughts on that. But it's a crazy time. I'll be honest, I'm getting a little tired of living through history-making events right now. It seems like every week history is being made. This has never happened in America. I mean, right now, Donald Trump has said he's not going to attend the inauguration of Joe Biden. And the social media platforms are just up in arms. Oh, the last one to do that was Andrew Jackson. Well, you know, if I had a candidate that stole the election from me and took away the votes of 70 million people, I'd be a little pissed too. I don't blame him. Kind of makes him look like a sore loser, I'll admit that. But you know what? In this day and age, I don't care. He was robbed. He's pissed. And some people think there's a plan behind this. We'll get into that in a little bit. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick break here, but we're going to talk about this young lady that was killed in the Capitol. I've got some interesting information, and we got to get back to the heart of the matter. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
The stuff of nightmares.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I don't know what to say. Tell me how you feeling the same. Cause I don't even know your name. I know how I want to. I saw you there across the room. Doing things beautiful too. And finally my eyes met you. And you came over. And I never ever felt a feeling like this. And I'm steady shaking like I'm Elvis. And I never ever thought the night could end.
this way, and I know it must sound crazy.
Alrighty, so again, we all went through a lot this week. If you watched the news, you had a total whitewash of emotions. We got to get through it. And I don't know how we're going to do it, because right now the hatred among people is more than I've ever seen in my life. People legitimately hate other people who don't share their views. I am a Facebook friend of a site called Friends and Community Shiawassee County News and Views. And they had an article about Ashley Babbitt, the Air Force veteran who was storming the Capitol and was shot in the chest and killed. And I'm reading the comments on this, and I'm appalled. The amount of hatred towards this woman, and I can only guess because she's a Trump supporter and she's white, was over the top. People were stating, hey, she was breaking the law. She got what she had coming to her. I don't feel bad for her at all. Serves her right. You know what? She was breaking the law. Should she have been climbing through that window trying to enter the Capitol? Absolutely not. She was, for lack of intent or better word, she was radicalized. It goes both ways, everybody. But I couldn't take it anymore. I mean, there are countless posts or threads on this stating how they don't care. They're glad she's dead. One less Trump supporter. She got what she deserved. And people are liking this left and right. And I couldn't do it anymore. And I normally do not like to engage like this on social media. I found myself doing it a little bit more than normal lately. But I had to come to her and her family's defense, even in my own little way. This is the post I wrote. All of these comments stating that she got what she deserved because she was breaking the law. However, I remember riots and cities burning this past summer due to people who were also killed while breaking the law. I hate to put it this way, but is there no outrage because she wasn't black? Again, I hate to put it that way, but that's how it seems. And I was ready for a firestorm of hatred. And I was pleasantly surprised that, you know, it was generally well received. You know, some people, you hit the nail on the head. Good point. Never thought of it that way. Good job. I wouldn't have said it. Glad you had the guts to say it. Stuff like that. And then the hate started coming at me. People were giving me examples, Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, I think I said his name right, that were killed. The gentleman was just jogging and was hunted down and killed by a couple racist pigs that have no business being alive at this time. That is a tragic event. Breonna Taylor, listen, I had somebody question my theory or my story on this, but from everything I read, she was at the house or where she was, her drug kingpin criminal boyfriend was there, and they were serving a warrant, and he opened fire on him, and she was hitting the crossfire. And people were like, well, they shot 32 times. Well, you know what? If you've got somebody shooting at you and you have no idea where it's coming from, you are going to return fire. And there were more officers than there were this guy, so I'm sure every officer unloaded their pistol. And let's say you used 6 officers, that's 36 rounds. Use 5 officers, that's 30 rounds. Somebody might have got 2 extra. I don't know. But she was at a bad place at a bad time. She was an innocent bystander. It sucks. This woman was breaking the law. She should not have been breaking in. That doesn't mean she should have died. But again, as I was stating, everybody seems to be missing the point on this. Over the summer, we watched Portland. We watched Baltimore. We watched Washington. We watched Wisconsin. We watched Grand Rapids. We watched these cities burn down, businesses looted, people were killed, and people's livelihoods destroyed. All because George Floyd, who was breaking the law, was killed. Does it make it right that he was killed? Absolutely not. It should have never happened. I'll be the first to admit that. But over the summer, the Democrats and the media literally condoned this. They literally gave the BLM and the Antifa thugs a green light to go ahead and do what you want. And in the news, they were labeled essentially righteous heroes. They are heroes of the oppressed. They've had enough. They just needed to do this, and they have every right. But supposed Trump supporters do this, and nope, they should have died. They're breaking the law. My thing is, there's such a double standard out there. And it's just not on this. It's on everything. Trump supporters, Joe Biden. There's interview footage of Joe Biden said he would not want his kids going to school with black children. Nobody would play that. Nobody would play that for fear that it would make him look like the racist he is. Every word that is out comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is scrutinized and twisted to make him look like a racist. It's a double standard. We live in a world where if you have conservative views, your views are ridiculed and your views are downgraded and do not mean anything. It's a hard place to be right now because everything you say is automatically discredited by the Democrats, the Republicans, the media, and the people that follow them. I just had a conversation with a gentleman at a place of business that I frequent. Just today, he got into a huge argument over Facebook with his cousin. And this, I've said it many, many times, and I need to really adhere to my own advice because I've been breaking my rule lately. But you cannot get into arguments on Facebook. You don't want to do that because as you're typing your response on that digital platform, you are at the mercy of the person who's reading it to imply what you meant because you can't put context in there. You can't put inflections in your voice. You are at the mercy of how that person on the other end is reading it. And if they read it wrong, and ask yourself, how many times have you said something, typed out something, put it out there, posted it, and it was misconstrued? And you have to say, no, this is what I meant. And that person says, oh, sorry, read it the wrong way. It happens a lot. So Facebook is not the place to get into arguments. Again, I need to adhere to that, but I broke my rule this week. But you are seeing all across this country, all across the world now, the dissolving of families, the disillusion of friends, the just everybody. I mean, marriages and relationships are breaking up because of people's views. We have become a society where no one is allowed to have a differing view. You only want to hang out with those of you who have the same view. That's a pretty scary, sheltered life. I, for one, love having viewpoints shared to me. I may not agree with them, and I'll tell you that. I don't agree with that. This is why. The problem is, and it used to be just the Democrats, but now the Republicans are getting this way too. If you start shooting off facts and they can't come back, they have nothing to come back with facts because all the Democrats are doing right now is just reading what they've heard, what they've read, what they've seen from CNN, MSNBC, the new mainstream media. I know what people are going to say before they say it because it's a talking point because I listen to all sources. I do that just so I can get both sides of the story because listen, there is nothing better. And after I was done posting this near the end, I had a lot of people come on that did not agree with me, but they were okay with it. And you know, part of me wants to think because I wasn't aggressive. I wasn't out calling names. I was trying to simply state my point, and if I wasn't stating my point, I said, look, we're just going to agree to disagree. It doesn't mean I don't like you. I would love to have more conversations with you. Maybe we can learn from one another. And as I was doing that, I noticed this horrible, horrible trend of vile, vicious posts and name-calling. It gradually reduced, and then it just disappeared. So by the end of, and this was a long-running thread, by the end of it, people who supported what I was saying and people who did not support what I was saying were actually having conversations. And I'm thinking to myself, if this is all it takes is just being cordial to one another, we can do this. We can get over this manipulation that we are being afflicted with. We can do this. We can overcome the media hatred that is being just thrown upon us. But we've got to work on it. You can't listen to just one side. If you listen to one side, you don't get both sides of the story, of course. And you're only half informed. get both sides of the story and then make your own decision. I've always said, look, if you get both sides of the story and you disagree with me, that's great. An informed listener is the listener I really look forward to. I have back and forths with listeners all the time that don't agree with a lot of what I say. Of course, politically, most of you listening to this show agree with what I say, but in terms of spirituality and paranormal, I mean, the fact that I've questioned God and what God is, that's offended a lot of you. But by the end of all these conversations, I make it a point to not disparage, name call, shout at any one of my listeners or anybody that I have a disagreement with or an argument or, as I like to call it, a debate with. Because there's no faster way to lose your audience and lose that person than to name call them, to yell at them, and to disparage them. Because then that turns into their wall is up. They have a wall that you cannot penetrate then, and all they're going to do is start lobbing insults back at you. And then it just turns into an insult factory. We need to learn how to talk to one another again. Earlier in the week on Facebook, I made a post, just threw it out there about how nobody was outraged when BLM and Antifa were rioting. Why is there outrage now? And I had a family member who just went up one side of me and down the other. And this is a family member that really doesn't know. She's young. She doesn't have the intricacies of a debate yet. She doesn't know how to talk to people. She's been indoctrinated to hate when I talked about this. When we're together, we have a great time. We have a good time. We can talk. But when I bring up something that she does not agree with, it turns into, I hate you. And she questioned my mental health. She said, I seriously question your mental health now, Tom. And I came back, and this is, again, a case of, I said, you're deranged now. And it wasn't, you are freaking deranged, you're a lunatic. It was just a phrase that I used because she was acting irrational at the time. And her boyfriend came on and just went up one side of me, down the other. Tom, I can't believe you would tell this person, I'm not going to say who it is, that she's deranged. And then I lost my cool and I said, but it's okay for her to tell me she questions my mental health. And then he says, grow up, Tom, you're an adult. And I said, we're all adults here. And I said, you know, she knows that I love her. I'd do anything for her. We are able to have this conversation. She knows that I don't think she's deranged. You obviously, I told him, I said, I appreciate you standing up for her. That's very manly of you. I applaud you. Good job. Keep it up. But you have to know when to pick and choose your battles. What the hell was that? Okay, I'm down in my studio recording the show, and I literally just saw a shadow walk across the room. Odd. All right, I'm going to keep my eye out for that. So anyway, and this is a guy who takes offense to everything I say because he's just like her, but he doesn't have the ability to turn it on and off. This my relative, the young woman, and I, we are able to turn it on and off. We will get into an argument, get into a debate. It's done. We'll see each other half hour later and laugh and enjoy ourselves and have a great time and be glad we spent the time together. He doesn't have that ability. There are a lot of people in this country that do not have that ability. They can't turn it on and off. It's always hatred. It's always attacking. I can't do it. I can't attack you for having different beliefs than me. And we need to change that in this country. The first step in defeating this epidemic is to realize that we are being indoctrinated. We are being taught to hate one another. We need to turn that off. We need to know that we are being manipulated by the Republicans, the Democrats, our politicians, and the media. Trust me, they do not have our best interests in mind. They have their best interests in mind. Until we realize that that is the case, that we are being manipulated, we are being played, it's going to be hard. But listen, just on a Facebook post, I was able to take a dozen people who were at each other's throats And by the end of that thread, that whole conversation that these people were having with me, I was able to turn that into a conversation where people were saying, thank you for being so civil. I appreciate you understanding. It is very possible. We just have to work at it. We have to get rid of the hatred in our hearts. And the first thing you need to do is realize that you are being played. The minute you know you're being played is the minute you can start to heal. And when you start to heal is when this country gets back on track. So let's make a concerted effort. You know what? Regardless of what aisle or side of the aisle you reside on, if you are having a debate with somebody, rather than call them names, get upset, start shouting, have a little compassion, have a little understanding, and see what happens. If I can do it to a dozen people, if everybody, every one of my listeners does that to a dozen people, that's a big change. And that tells the government, who has not our best interests in mind, and the media, who has only their own interests in mind, gives them a big F you. We aren't going to take it anymore. It's not a lot, but it's a start, and that's where we need to go. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And I want to talk to you about these Trump supporters that are still saying Trump is our president and he will remain our president. I've got a message for you, and it may not be pretty. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Racking and jacking my mind up. Can I be telling the time? I don't care, no. Send 30 messages drunk and dirty messages drunk. But I don't look. No, I can't be fucked to look.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
So as you can imagine, my messenger list, my emails are always blowing up with people telling me Trump is still going to be your president. This isn't over. This was before the certification of the electoral votes. I thought it'd stop. It hasn't. These people still are out there saying this isn't over. Trump has still got the quote-unquote Trump card to play. That's why they want to get him out of office. There may be some truth to that, but this may upset a lot of my listeners, but I'm done. You know, I've for the past 4 years, I've followed QAnon and tried to decipher their cryptic messages, and I basically gave it up to the people that said they knew what they were talking about with this to figure out what was going on, and I kept hearing, the storm is coming, be prepared. This is going to happen. I kept hearing people tell me Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, that they were arrested and they were tried and found guilty of treason and were executed. And then you see them on the stump 2 weeks later. I've had people tell me that Joe Biden is a clone. That's really not him. They apparently disregard the fact that plastic surgery is a thing now. I bought the ticket. I went down the rabbit hole. I'm turning around. I'm sorry. The stories are great. They made a lot of sense. The stories still make a lot of sense. But it's done. This is over. This chapter is over. Let's fight a different battle. I want to give you the, I don't even know what you'd call it, the reasoning of what, or the synopsis, I guess would be the best word to use, of what is happening right now. And I want you to tell me, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are listening that still feel that President Trump is still going to be our president. And this is what they go by. I have a hard time believing it, because everything that these people said was going to happen never did. I took the bait. You set the hook. You reeled me in. You mounted me on your wall. I'm falling off your wall right now, I guess. I that's the only way I can put it. I can't follow it anymore, because as good as it sounds and as much as I would love it to be true, I can't do it anymore. I can't be disappointed. But again, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say, because this is what they're basing their theories around right now. The first one I will agree with. Everybody's saying Trump conceded the election. He did not concede the election. That's the first thing. Apparently, there's some unwritten law that in order to completely be resolved of the presidency, you have to concede. I guess the electoral votes don't count anymore. It's just whether or not you concede. But they are correct. They say that he didn't concede, and Trump did not concede. There's also a story of an affidavit of a whistleblower going around that proves Italy and Obama were involved in a coup to overthrow our government by way of election fraud. Now, this is where it gets good. How did we know this to be a fact? Well, it goes back to Tiffany Trump and Marla Maples. Now, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Donald Trump married to Marla Maples in the 80s? So now she's some government agent or some top secret person that gets all these classified documents? I don't understand it. But apparently they have this recording on a WhatsApp group that is now under protection, and it involves everything. It just basically spills out the beans, but of course nobody really has this thing. There's a link to it, but you go to the link and there's nothing there. I just don't understand it. If anybody has heard anything about this, please let me know. Now, the other thing is, this is where it gets a little tricky. I've got a very good friend of mine that swears that Donald Trump is still going to be our president. Joe Biden may be the president-elect and he may be acting as president, but behind the scenes, Donald Trump is still our president. This is how it goes. Bear with me. President Trump won't get a second term. Why? Because this was the last recorded term of a president who served in the America Corporation. Now, you've heard me say before that before there was a gold band around all these flags that has since been removed. That gold band signified an American corporation. We were basically a business. When Trump came in, he removed that gold band, basically reverting us back to a republic. They went on to say that Trump dismantled the Banking Act of 1871 from England. We are going back to a republic, and Trump will be the first president of the new republic with the Constitution fully intact, which includes the start date of the new president as of March 4th. This was the original start date of a new president from 1776 until it was changed in 1933 under FDR. That is fact. Trump did dismantle the Banking Act. March 4th was the inauguration day of any new president. Again, this is the stories they're going with. It sounds great. It really does. Oh my gosh, he's just going to be a behind-the-scenes president, I guess. I don't know. Then it goes into the Capitol riot. He says, not only was it a setup by Antifa and the traitors, and they're talking about Democrats and Republicans, to disrupt the day, which was the Electoral College Day, and to smear the president. But when the military was brought in, they got a hold of everyone's laptops and devices while they were being shuttled through the buildings, tunnels, while they were being evacuated. Many of these devices were said to show that they were online in real time with Chinese operatives. As far as all the people that caved in yesterday goes, we are watching traitors expose their true characters. Again, yeah, it sounds great. The military was brought in. The National Guard was brought in. And apparently the story goes that while these people were being shuttled out of the Capitol, their devices were left behind. And the military gobbled them up and saw real time that they were talking to Chinese operatives. And then they talk about the Georgia runoff. It was another military sting to catch them all in the act. So now they say that since they all have signed on to the electoral votes, the crime has been committed. Everyone who has signed off has committed treason. They say we have now moved from conspiracy to commit treason to treason. So basically what these people are saying is that Trump is still playing a game. We are officially 10 days from Trump being out of office. I'm going to tell you QAnon followers, you people who do this and give me all this hope and then dash my hopes. And this is a great story. As you know, I run a auto repair facility, and we have suppliers, and they have deliveries. Well, I was just happening at our delivery rack, going through the parts and trying to disperse them, and one of our suppliers' delivery guys comes in, and he says, "Oh, did you hear Nancy Pelosi got caught with her hand in the cookie jar?" I'm like, "What?" "Oh, yeah, this was yesterday. This was Friday, January 8th, he told me this, at about 2:40. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we've just been, the boss over at the facility just told us he saw a video of Nancy Pelosi orchestrating BLM and Antifa to raid the Capitol." I'm like, "You have got to be kidding me. Oh, that is so amazing." I was so excited. I'm going around to everybody. "Oh, my God, did you hear this? Did you hear this?" We can't find anything on it. So I called my distributor, my supplier, and I said, "Hey, get this guy on the phone." So I get him on the phone. I'm like, "Where did you find this? Tell me. Send this to me. I need to get this out." He sends me a YouTube link. And I'm like, "Oh, God, you want to talk about dashing someone's dreams and hopes? Send me a YouTube link. Tell me you got Joe Biden in bed with the Chinese, just locked, proof galore that he has been in, or he's manipulating Ukraine, China, everything that that Trump has said he's been doing. You have proof of that. You have a video. And you want to dash my hopes, send me a YouTube link." Now watch the video, and it's nothing. Come on. It's just stuff that we've all heard before. You have 10 days, QAnon. You have 10 days, supporters of President Trump still being president. I am hanging on by a nail on this bandwagon, and I'm about ready to let go, and I can't do it. The only reason I'm still hanging on is because it's such a good story. This is a story that you could write a book about. This isn't a book. This is real life. I'm sure I have alienated a good portion of my audience because there are a lot of you. It's almost amusing when I hear and I see people put on posts, "It's not over yet." And this is as of yesterday and today. Guys, it's over. It was a great run. We had a great 4 years. We got to figure out a way to get it back. That's our plan now. Instead of just having these false hopes of Trump still being president, just put it aside. It's not going to happen. Let's get back to how do we get back to where we were. It's going to be tough because they're going to pack the courts. They're going to make it so there's almost an impossible chance for a Republican to hold office again. We're going to a one-party system, guys. I hate to say it. We're honestly on our way there because these Republicans are jumping ship left and right. So let me know what you think. I hope you enjoyed this show. I'm almost tempted to put out a bonus episode of the show I originally had just to see the difference. It was night and day, night and day. And lastly, I want to tell you this is probably going to be, barring any unforeseen major events in the political world, this is going to be my last political show for a while. I know I've been talking the last couple weeks about this show that I am really doing a lot of research and a lot of reading on and making a ton of notes. I feel like I'm hyping this show up about how we couldn't have been created, we had to have been created. I feel like I'm hyping this up so much that it's like the summer blockbuster that they hyped, and then it fails miserably. I don't want that to happen, and I'm going to do that. I think next week's show is going to be, it might even be a multi-part series because there is so much information. It is just amazing. And if you haven't heard, it's going to be a series about how we have not been, or we, there's no way we evolved into what we are today. It couldn't have happened. I'm going to go into how the human body works, and I'm not just going to say we're an electrical being. I'm going to give you an example of this and this and this and how this works and how this works with this, and if this didn't work, this wouldn't work. And we are so intricate. We had to have been created. That's the spoiler alert. It's going to be a great, great topic, and I really want you to listen to it because I am enjoying so much researching it because I am learning so much. I mean, just the cells in our body just defy explanation, and that's just the cell. Wait till we get into the other parts of the human body. It's great. So I hope you enjoyed this show. I don't want you to despair. We'll get through this. We really will. But I want every one of my listeners to make it a priority to be nice to one another, especially those who disagree with us, and spread that around so other people know, hey, it's a lot better when you're cordial to one another than opposed to yelling at them and calling them a Nazi. So try that and let's see what happens. That'll be the show this week. Please stay with me next week. I hope you're going to enjoy it. Again, barring any unforeseen political nuclear bomb, I'm done with political for a while. It's run its course. So you have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be back next week. Waiting in the driveway. Oh my God.